All right, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we could hear doctors' reports, and doctors' reports may be fact. And they might say, this is fact, this is what's happening. But we have a word from the Lord that's bigger than fact, and that's truth. Hallelujah. And that's His promise. And when we stand on His truth and His promise, hallelujah, God can transcend facts and do the supernatural. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. All right. Hallelujah. You know, I do campus ministry, and a whole bunch of my Youngstead students are here today. Where y'all at? Woo! Yeah, they everywhere. They everywhere. You know, some campus ministries, the students, you know, they get sick and tired of their campus minister, you know. But hallelujah, they're here to see me preach twice a week. Amen. That means I must be doing something right. God's doing something right through me. Amen. Glory to God. Now, how many of you guys, and beside my students, how many of you guys, actually everybody, how many of you guys in here are in school right now? Raise your hand. How many students are in the house? All right. All right, we got a lot of students in the house. All right. How many of you guys, who are not in school, how many of you miss school? You miss school. Okay. All right. You actually miss school. Students are going, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't wait till it's over. I'll tell you right now, I don't miss school. For most of my life, like 16 plus years, I sat through class after class after class, learning everything from calculus to chemistry, geometry, and trigonometry. Unfortunately, I can't remember many of the things that I learned. All right? And that's just a shame, you know? I just can't remember. Most of the things that I learned, I can't remember. I can't even do a simple calculus problem today, probably. I can't balance no chemistry equations. But back then, I used to ace those tests, you know? And now, this didn't bother me when I was going to school for free. You know, I went to public school. You know, I went to public Philadelphia inner city school. And when I was going to school for free, none of this bothered me. But when I got to super expensive NYU, all right, sometimes I wonder why we pay so much money for an education that we can't remember. All right, can I get an amen? I really don't know. I really don't know why we pay so much money sometimes, why we spend so much time. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for education. All right, but let me tell you, when I was in school, I couldn't wait till it was over. All right, that's some of the students right now. I feel you. All right, no more papers, no more exams, no more group projects. Hallelujah. You know, I was looking for that day, hallelujah, when I get delivered from all that. And after I graduated from college, I got to enjoy 7 years of academic freedom. After those 7 years, starting last month, God's got me right back into school at Torch Trinity Seminary here in Seoul, Korea. Now, I'm currently taking a church history class at Torch. And our sister Monica had gone last year. And she had warned me about how boring the church history professor is. So I was actually trying to register for another class. But the only class that fit into my schedule was a class in which you get an automatic F if you doze off. All right. Now, I was not ready to test that professor. All right. I wasn't going to have none of that. So I settled for the boring professor. Well, praise the Lord, because this semester, a new adjunct professor replaced the usual professor for the church history class. Hallelujah. Perfect timing, right? And praise the Lord, because this professor is anointed. I never had a college professor be anointed. This guy is anointed. And, you know, his English is, you know, he's Korean, so his English is kind of like, you know, a little bit not so clear. And that kind of bothered me in the beginning. But when the anointing started to flow, man, all the class material just started going into my spirit, into my heart, and just started speaking to me. And I remember I skipped this past week's class because of my health. But usually I love sitting through this class. And I can testify right now, I have not dozed off once. That's amazing if you know me, because I suffer from mild narcolepsy. And Pastor Paul from Jubilee Church and I, we both sit there every week, and we get so blessed. And it's like that bonus blessing. Because, you know, it's just a blessing to even be in seminary. But like to get like that doubly blessed by the anointing of that professor. It's like a bonus blessing. All right. Somebody say bonus. Bonus blessing. Hallelujah. All right. And that bonus blessing, all right, is the blessing that inspired my sermon today. All right. Hallelujah. All right. So I want you to turn to Acts 11 if you're already there. All right. Let's look at verse 19 to 30. And I'm just going to preach right out of this text. Let me pause for a brief moment of prayer. Lord God, I just thank you for your presence that's in this place, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. And I pray that your words of truth, oh God, will be spoken out of my mouth with fire into the hearts of your people, oh God. I pray that you would, oh God, paint a picture and a vision of the church into the hearts of every person here, oh God, Lord. And revolutionize, oh God, Lord. Hallelujah. They're thinking about the church, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. And I pray and I bind the thief that comes to lie and to steal and to kill and destroy. I bind the thief and every demonic spirit that may be in operation to distract or cause doubt or fear. I bind by the blood of Jesus Christ. I come against all the enemy's works, for no weapon formed against God's people shall prosper. And I declare, hallelujah, over this place, your anointing, Lord. The anointing of your spirit flow now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Look with me in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Hallelujah. The verse says, now those who have been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Now let's pause there. Hallelujah. When the persecution, if you read a few chapters earlier, it broke out against the church. The persecutors intended to stop the movement of Christianity. But praise the Lord, because just as Pastor Sam preached last week, God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen? Amen. God works all things for good. And God turned the very thing that was meant to destroy the Christian movement into the very thing that will help spread the Christian movement. And God did this in two ways. One, God powerfully converted the very man who led the persecution. And two, God actually used the persecution to spread the gospel message to areas that the church was scattered to. So people were like, oh, there's too much persecution here, and they ran away. But while they were running away to all and scattered to all these places, they preached the gospel wherever they went. And God used the very thing that was meant to destroy the church to build the church. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says we are more than conquerors. And I think this is why it's so important to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord at all times. All right? Because even when circumstances are difficult or we are wronged, when we stay in faith, God will turn around that situation and bless you. He'll turn around that pain and turn it for your good. He'll turn around that wrong where you were wrong and turn it into a testimony. When you stay in faith, God will turn around that situation and bless you. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now. Point your prophetic finger and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to bless the Lord all times. Hallelujah. All right, we got to bless the Lord. We got to stay in faith. All right, if we don't stay in faith, we forfeit the very things that God may do through that situation. Because God will always turn it around for good. All things. All things. I looked it up in the Greek, and all means all. He turns all things for good. I actually didn't look it up in the Greek. I heard another preacher say that. I thought it was kind of cool. Hallelujah. This is why it's also important, as Jesus commands us, to bless those who curse us and to pray for those who persecute us. All right? When we act in vengeance or we harbor hate and we refuse to forgive, you know what we're saying? We're saying to God, in effect, Lord, that person is too difficult for you to turn around. He's so cynical, so evil, so mean. There's no use in praying for him. So let me punish him in the way that I can. When we take vengeance out into our own hands, that's what we're saying to the Lord. But no, Jesus tells us to bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. All right? Hallelujah. And just in case you forgot, the Bible says that he can turn the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. With man, this is impossible. But Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you'll notice at the end of verse 19 here, that although it was wonderful that the believers went around preaching the gospel wherever they went, you'll notice that it says that they only shared the gospel with the Jews. Now, the Jewish believers probably heard about what happened in the previous chapter, about how God, if you read the previous chapter, God comes to Peter in a vision. All right? And in effect, God uses this vision to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Gentiles just means anyone who is not a Jew. The Jews were very ethnocentric, all right? And Gentiles were anyone that were not Jews. All right? And in the previous chapter, the Jewish Christians started to hear about what God was doing to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And although, if you look here in chapter 11, the very next chapter, what are they doing? They're not all excited about what happened through Peter, right? Where the gospel went out to the Gentiles. But what are they doing? They're only preaching the gospel still to what? The Jews only. To the Jews only. Now, in modern day, unfortunately, this same thing is still happening. You might be, I'm not a Jew. What are you talking about? All right? The same thing is still happening. You know, the church culture of today, the religious people of today, the people who grew up in the church, they do the same thing. Although we know that the gospel is to go out to all nations and to be preached to people of all races and all ethnicities, what do we oftentimes do? The people in the church, they only share the gospel with other church people, with other people that grew up in the church. But is it a common thing for us to see us, the Christians, taking the gospel to the Hindus of the campus, to the Muslims of your neighborhood, to the atheists in your workplace? I'm telling you, we are doing the same thing as the Jews did. We only preach the gospel to the Jews. And this is I work for Korea Campus Crusade for Christ, and we target Asian Americans, Korean Americans, you know? And I don't think there's anything wrong with targeting, you know? I think Korean Americans reach Korean Americans the best. So I think that's a great vision. But it's a problem when this becomes our sole target. That's the problem. All right? So we got to examine ourselves today. All right? Who are we preaching the gospel to? Are we only taking it to the Jews? Or are we expanding our territory? Hallelujah. Look with me, verse 20. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Now, that's what I'm talking about. And that's what I'm talking about. We got to be like men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to go and tell anyone and everyone who is willing to hear the gospel. No matter what their culture, no matter what their skin color, no matter what their religious background, we got to be like men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Amen? You know, back then, not all the believers were doing this. But you know what? That's okay. You know, sometimes we get so hung up on what the church should be doing but ain't doing. You know? We get so hung up on what the church should be doing but is not doing. We get so hung up on that. But you know what? We don't need everybody in the church to do it. Right? God just needs a few faithful and he'll spark a revival. Because he just took these few men from Cyprus and Cyrene and he planted the Antioch church Hallelujah. And we're about to look at the Antioch church today. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think the real reason why we don't reach out to the unchurched, it's because we look on the surface and we lack the faith to believe that God can turn them around. You know, we look at their Buddhist beads, or we look at their Muslim headdresses, or we look at their postmodern attitude, and we simply think, what's the use? Why should I even waste my breath? That person's not going to believe the gospel, right? And we just lack that faith. But look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. It says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Wow. What just happened? I didn't think that Muslim guy was going to come to Christ. I didn't think that dude who was, all arguing with me with postmodern attitudes, I didn't think he was going to give his life to the Lord. What happens here? Hallelujah. Who would have guessed that so many Gentiles, all of these converts, every person in this great number, they were an unchurched. They were a Gentile. They had never heard about the gospel before. Brothers and sisters, we got to realize that people around us are hungry for righteousness. They are fed up with injustice and evil. You think you're the only one who sees injustice and evil? There's plenty of unbelievers out there that are fed up with the injustice and corruption and evil that they see in the world. And they're hungering for righteousness. They're weary and they're burdened. And they're crying out for someone to share some good news with them. And we got to leave the 99 and go after the lost sheep. Amen? Jesus said, it's the sick that need a doctor. It's the sick that need a doctor. It's time for us to change our thinking and become men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Become like these men and go and reach those who've never stepped into a church. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After decades of communism and being told that there is no God, that in the last 15 years, Christianity in China is exploding. Exploding. Chinese secular media publishes articles about this phenomenon all the time. I was reading an article in Shanghai's, the city of Shanghai in China. Ni hao. All right, where Brother Anthony at? Ni hao, brother. Ni hao. All right, hallelujah. Man, that boy. Hallelujah. And in that article, it was saying that China is right now on pace to hold the largest Christian population in the world in just a few years. All right? Somebody just say, what? Let me tell you some numbers. All right? The government has very conservative numbers because they want to kind of downplay it. And even the conservative numbers say 40 million, 45 million. But the Christian leaders, who also count the underground churches, say that 80 to 100 million Christians in China right now, with 200,000 converts a year and increasing. God's doing an incredible work in China. Hallelujah. That's bigger than Korea. That's bigger than Korea and North Korea put together and Texas put together. Hallelujah. But 15 years ago, back in 1993, if somebody was like, there's going to be revival in China, no one would have believed you. I remember, I was a high school freshman in 1993. And I was like, Lord, do something for China. They need the gospel. Because China was filled with communists, people that were atheists. No one would have believed that revival would happen in China. But in just 15 short years, It has. What verse 21 is telling you is what is happening exactly right now in China. Because people stepped out and preached the gospel in China to the unchurched, revival, a great number of people are coming to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, there are people, a great number of people here in this city of Seoul, English-speaking people here in Seoul that are crying for the gospel. They're crying out for the gospel, but they never step foot in the church. Think about that. How intimidating is it for you to step foot in a church when you've never even been to church? All they need is a person, a Cyrene, a Cyprus person who will go and step out and share the love of Christ with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's continue to read on. Verse 22 to 24. Word of God says, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Hallelujah. Let's stop there. You know, as the Antioch church began to explode and grow, Brother Barnabas was sent to Antioch. The Bible tells us that he was a joyful man, right? Because he was glad. Scripture says that. He was glad. All right. Last time I was glad, nobody wrote about it. All right? It's because he was filled with joy. He was a joyful man. He was probably had smiles on his face all the time. And he was also an encouraging man. In fact, Barnabas is not actually his real name. His real name is Joseph. All right? How ordinary, right? I'm playing. If there ain't Josephs out there, God bless you. All right. But his real name was Joseph. But his nickname became Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He has such a reputation as an encourager, hallelujah, that they actually gave him a nickname that reflected that. Hallelujah. The Bible also says that he was a good man. All right? That's like saying he was nice. All right? That's how it sounds like to us. All right? But the Bible is going deeper. It's saying he's a good man. How do we know he's a good man? Well, in Acts 4:37, we read that Barnabas was actually quite wealthy. He had a plot of land. He sold it and brought the proceeds to the apostles' feet. He was a good man. He was a generous man. In Acts 9:27, Barnabas was the only one who defended Saul's conversion. When the persecutor Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus and had a turnaround, Barnabas was the only one who stood up for him and the church in Jerusalem. Everybody else was like, man, yo, isn't that the persecutor dude? Yo, get him away from me. And Saul was like, hallelujah, brother. Man, don't shake my hand. You don't know me. And Barnabas was like, hold on. It's not like that. He's one of us now. And they're like, yeah, man, you're tripping. I saw that guy. He was there when he was ordering that Stephen get stoned. I remember. I ran, but I was looking back. I saw what happened. And it's that same man. And Barnabas is not like that. Barnabas is defending Saul. He was the only one who did that. Why? Because Barnabas was a good man. He believed the best in people. He gave people the benefit of a doubt. He gave people a second chance. Hallelujah. He was a good man. And it doesn't stop there. It also says that he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Holy Spirit and faith. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we could use some Barnabases here in JSCM. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. As Antioch Church was exploding, as the church plant began, God brought Barnabas to Antioch. Because those are the kinds of people that we need to nurture the church. Hallelujah. And in order for our church to mature, we need Barnabases, men and women like Barnabas, to rise up and serve. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. At the end of verse 24. It says, he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. You know, as Barnabas strengthened and encouraged the church, the Antioch church grew even more. All right, we just read just a paragraph earlier that a great number were added to the church. Just a paragraph later, it says even more, even another great number was added to the church. Hallelujah! The Antioch church was growing. And as Barnabas men and women rise up in this church is also going to grow. We're going to see a wave of people come in, and we're going to be like, whoa, that's pretty good. And we're going to be like, that's not as good as it gets. It's going to be even more. Glory to the latter house is greater than the former. Barnabas is going to rise up, and even another wave of people are going to come in and fill the church. Hallelujah. And notice that it does not say that a bunch of disciples from Jerusalem moved to Antioch, and the church doubled in number. All right? It doesn't say that. How did the Antioch church grow? Right? By filling the church with new converts. That's how Antioch church grew. Hallelujah. JSCM, this afternoon, this day, I want JSCM to aim for Antioch. Don't look at the churches around you. Don't look at the churches. Don't look at the latest trends. Because what is anointed and works for another church may completely fail at this church. You see, it's not the method or the strategy that prospers the church. It's the leading and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this day I want our church to aim for Antioch. I want you to pray that JSCM will grow. Not by unhappy church members transferring their attendance to our church, all right? But pray that God will fill this church with new converts and new disciples. Hallelujah. People who are headed in one direction and then God turns their life around. Hallelujah. People who are delivered, healed, and filled with the Spirit. That our church will overflow with fresh testimonies and new baptisms. Personally, these are the kinds of people I want packing the sanctuary. You know, because these are the kinds of people that overflow with thanksgiving and passion to God. You know, people who, I'm not saying this is all the cases, but a lot of people who skip around churches, that do church hopping, right? They have a lot of issues. They can't hear the voice of the Lord, right? Another thing is they have a submission to authority issue. They can't submit to authority, all right? I don't want y'all going out there and finding unhappy church members of another church who are having problems submitting to authority and being like, hey, come out to our church and why don't you bring that struggle here? All right? I want y'all to, I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm just telling you what you should aim for, what you should envision. Be like a man of Cyprus and Cyrene. Go out to the unchurched and share the gospel with them. And whether they believe or not, invite them to this church that they may see the power of the living God. Hallelujah. And fill this church because those are my kinds of people. Those are the kinds of people that I want us to be surrounded with. People that are overflowing with fresh thanksgiving because God's done a fresh work in their life. Now, this doesn't mean I won't welcome people who want to switch churches and check us out. All right? I welcome you with open arms. But I'm just saying, in this paragraph, the Antioch church grew by a great number, and only one of them was a result of transfer growth. That means when the Antioch church grew, the kingdom of God grew. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you see churches growing, and the kingdom of God doesn't even go up by one. And there's just a lot of, you know, transfer growth. But what God is doing, what the new thing he's doing, is not over there with transfer growth. As much as that happens, I'm blessing what God is doing there as well. But it's the adding to the kingdom of God. The building of the kingdom of God. That's what JSCM ought to aim for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May our church be a church that aims for that kind of kingdom growth. That our primary concern will not be JSCM growth or local church growth. It will be kingdom growth. That we will rejoice when new converts are added in India and in the Philippines as well as here at JSCM. That even if a new convert decides to go to Onuri, that we will rejoice. Because it's about kingdom growth. Hallelujah. I want you to wrap your mind around that. All right? Because God's doing a new thing. Let's keep reading. Verse 25 to 26. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. You know, Barnabas is such a good guy. He's such a good guy. You know what he did here? You see, Saul had just been converted. And when he shows up at Jerusalem, he's met with a lot of rejection. All right. The disciples, when Saul showed up, they didn't go, "Oh, praise the Lord. God has answered our prayer and turned our worst enemy into a real new convert." All right, they didn't say that. They were filled with all kinds of doubt, and they distanced themselves from him. Saul had a hard time finding a place where he could serve. What did Barnabas do? He personally went to Tarsus, and he brings Saul to give him an opportunity to minister at Antioch. Barnabas was making the Antioch church a place where Saul can have a fresh start. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you out there are looking for a fresh start. But my prayer is that JSCM can be a place where people can get a fresh start. I don't care what you did back in your hometown or wherever you're coming from. I don't care what kind of life you lived before. You come here, you're going to get a fresh start. I ain't going to judge you. I'm going to give you a fresh start. That this church will be filled with people that are like Barnabas. That the church of JSCM may become like the church of Antioch. Hallelujah. Where people who are gifted and called but are unappreciated elsewhere, when they enter into here, make it an opportunity to minister. That this becomes a place where people believe the best in you. Hallelujah. And in many ways, I believe that God's been building that kind of church here at JSCM already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as many of you know, because Barnabas believed in Saul and encouraged him, after this 1 year in Antioch, Saul went on to plant numerous churches among the Gentiles. And what else did he do? He wrote most of the New Testament. God used Saul in a powerful way. Hallelujah. And just like Antioch, may JSCM be the birthing place for many, many Pauls. Amen? For many, many Pauls. Just as Paul's vision was to preach the gospel where it was not preached, may JSCM be a birthing place for missionaries that will go out and preach the gospel to the unreached. Hallelujah. And if you read the tail end of verse 26, you'll read that it says the disciples were first called. Somebody say my name? What? Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch. If it wasn't for Antioch, I'd still be Suk Young Lee. Barnabas and Saul's faithful service have brought such life transformation, such maturity and influence into the lives of the Antioch church that the city began to take note, and they had to come up with a new term to describe all these followers of Jesus Christ. It must be noted that Antioch was no small town. In fact, after Rome and Alexandria, it was ranked third in importance among all the cities of the Roman Empire. Antioch was a big city. It was an influential city. And Antioch, like JSCM, is not a suburban church. It's a city church. Amen? Amen. I love the city. I'll tell you right now, I love the city, and my call is for the city. Hallelujah. Because I know the city is where it's toughest. You know, Campus Crusade staff back in America, all right, none of them want to go to New York City. Because it's a graveyard for Campus Crusade staff. It's so difficult to do ministry in New York City. All right? But, you know, that's why I joined Korea Campus Crusade for Christ. Because Campus Crusade, I remember freshman year at NYU, I went to a Campus Crusade meeting. And it was four people. The Campus Crusade staff, this old Caucasian gentleman, was very nice, but I didn't connect with him. There was some Asian girl that had come for the first time as well. And then some other girl that was there from the past year. Four people. Man, I was like, man, this is sure not what I had imagined. And then I went to a Korea Campus Crusade for Christ meeting, and it was packed. 120 students. Revival was happening. Lives were being touched. I'm a city man. I know where the city's, that's where it's at. Even though it's tough. That's why I joined Korea Campus Crusade for Christ. Because Koreans, they like that meun stuff. They like that gangan, the strong stuff. They're not afraid of the strong kimchi. And even if kimchi was not enough, they have kimchi jjigae, where they like even concentrate the kimchi even more into the stew and make you drink it. That's what Koreans, you know, and I'm not dogging any other race. I'm just saying that's just the way God has raised up Koreans. And that's why I think I joined Campus Crusade for Christ, Korea Campus Crusade for Christ. And I'll tell you, Korea Campus Crusade for Christ, and they target the city. They don't shy away from the city. They target the city. In one case, it's not fair to say that because it's because Koreans are in the city. They're mostly in the city. That's why. Nevertheless, they're not afraid of it. Because you know what? They started from nothing. They started from nothing, just as the Campus Crusade, the Caucasian gentleman was doing. They were starting from nothing. And they started from nothing, and they got to 120. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And JSCM is a city church like Antioch. Hallelujah. So I want to draw them parallels. And I want you to know that JSCM is in this city and not in Bundang, as much as I love Bundang, or Irsan, as much as I love Irsan and the Hosugo one there. All right, I'm talking about the city. I'm talking about the city where the culture, the arts, where the yeonhaeins are. Did I say that right? The superstars, the celebrities are. All right? We need to preserve the culture. We need to be in the middle and be the salt and the light right in the city. That's what Antioch was doing. And that's why the term Christian came about. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Verse 27. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Pause. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. You know, this was the first time that the Antioch church had prophets visit them. And nevertheless, even though it was their first time, the church welcomed them, and they carefully weighed the words that were prophesied. And as a church, I believe that we need to welcome the prophets and allow them to minister here. Now, I'm not ignorant. I know that there is a controversy out there, mostly in America, about whether the office of prophet is a legitimate office that stays with us today. Okay? Personally, I was mentored by a pastor, an Italian-American pastor, that had the gift of prophecy, that has the gift of prophecy. And that's no secret here at JACM. Anyone who's heard my messages know that I always mention, Brother Michael, Brother Michael, Brother Michael, Brother Michael this, Brother Michael that, my old spiritual mentor this, my spiritual mentor that. Why? Because he had a huge influence on me. And he ministered with the gift of prophecy. And that's no secret here. If you didn't know that, all right, let me just tell you that right now. Now you know. All right? I was mentored by someone with the gift of prophecy. So it's kind of hard for me to deny that this stuff exists. I didn't even know about the controversy. All I know is God was doing something marvelous in my life through this man, and he had the gift of prophecy. And I investigated further. I come to a conclusion and a conviction that the office of prophet has not been dissolved. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that the office of the fivefold ministries have been dissolved. We still have pastors. We still have teachers. Recently, we started recognizing people like Billy Graham, evangelists. But why does church is so afraid of prophets? All right. I personally believe that. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to impose that on everybody here at this church. I'm just letting you know that that's what my personal experience has been. And my life will be a lie if I try to do kingdom work and ignore the gift of prophecy and the office of prophet. I would not be the lead pastor of JSCM. I would not be engaged to my fiance, Erin. I would not even be in Korea if it were not for the gift of prophecy operating in my life. So look, if you're saying there's no gift of prophecy, if there's no office of prophet, you're saying, Christian, you are not there. You're not standing right there. Because the only way I got here is because of the use of those gifts still in effect today. Yes, there are many dangers to allowing such supernatural gifts and such offices of authority to operate in the church. I admit there are dangers. There's many dangers. You can abuse authority. You can abuse your power. You can take a word that's not a prophetic word and use it to manipulate people. Sure, there's a lot of dangers. But I believe the answer is not no use, but right use. Because as we throw away these things, we're also throwing away the power that God wants the church to exercise. The authority that God wants the church to exercise. We're so afraid of it. We're so afraid of dangers that we end up throwing it all out. Now, I'm going to stop preaching on that. I'm going to just put that out there. Okay? If you can't deal with it, all right? All right? Just pray. All right? Do what you got to do. All right? But I'm just putting that out there, all right, because this verse, I can't skip over that verse, all right? Prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and the Antioch church, okay, they heeded what the prophets said. Let's keep reading, verse 28 to 30. One of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Hallelujah. JSCM aimed for Antioch because Antioch was a generous church. It doesn't take spiritual maturity to be generous. They had just been planted, and here they are. They heed the word of the prophet, and they are not timid in their giving. You know why I think the Antioch church did this? Because they knew the Abrahamic promise that they were blessed to be a blessing. A lot of Christians, they think they turn the Abrahamic promise into I am blessed to survive. I am blessed so I can merely get by. Mm-mm. I think our God is a God who overflows our cup. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. So that you will lend and not borrow. That you will be the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. The Antioch church knew that they were blessed to be a blessing. So in light of what the Holy Spirit revealed, they decided to provide help for their mother church. Remember, the brothers in Judea, that's talking about Jerusalem church. That's where Barnabas was sent. That's where the prophets were sent out from. That's Antioch's mother church. And just like Antioch, JSCM, let us give and tithe and serve in such a way that one day we too will be a blessing to our mother church here at JSCM. Amen? They have invested so much in this congregation. They send people like Pastor James to come and minister. They pump in and invest money into our congregation so that we can be propped up when during difficult times. We have been blessed so much. Is it not natural for us to bless them back? Is it not an honorable thing for us to desire to be a blessing back to them? I think when we have that attitude, God's going to bless our church tenfold. See, we all focus on JSCM this, JSCM that. What's the future of JSCM? Well, what about the future of Jaesung, our mother church? What is God doing in the adult congregation? Let us celebrate that. Let us pray for that. Because when our attitudes change toward that, God's going to bless us tenfold. Hallelujah. 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 Let's aim to be like Antioch. I want you to turn to Acts 13, the next two chapters later. Verses 1 to 3. Hallelujah. Chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. It says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene. Remember that Cyrene, Cyprus? Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Amen. All right, first of all, let me note here, the word prophets appears again. Okay? Because the Antioch church had both prophets and teachers. Okay? The fivefold ministry was working and ministering in that church. All right? And if you read the rest of the whole book of Acts, you will see something interesting about the church of Antioch. Antioch becomes the center for missions work to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. I never picked that up in my personal Bible reading. But as my anointed professor with his broken English was teaching on this, it just came alive to me. The Antioch church is like the model church that our modern churches need to aim for. Because the Antioch church was the center for missions work to the Gentiles, to the unchurched, to the unreached. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you read 1536 and 1823, you will see that. But here in chapter 13, 1 to 3, we read how the Antioch church regularly worshiped together and fasted. See, Antioch church, they praised God and they loved it. They didn't just worship when they had to. They worshiped because they wanted to. They didn't come to church to worship. They came to church worshiping. They worshiped. Hallelujah. And not only were they delighting in the presence of God, not only were they delighting in the visions that God was showing them, but they were also willing to pay the cost because they were fasting. Nothing like fasting to confront you with your own selfishness. There's nothing like fasting. It kicks my butt every time. I'm telling you right now, fasting is, man, it's hard. Lord, come soon. Fasting's hard. Unless I'm fasting, I'm just like, Lord, just come now. End my fast. Hallelujah. Or I look forward to breakfast, you know? Hallelujah. They worshiped together and they fasted regularly. And if you look here, the Holy Spirit speaks. And what does the Antioch church do? They listen. They follow. The Antioch church was a church that followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't about Barnabas. It wasn't about Saul. It wasn't about any one leader. It was about leading of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I want JSCM to aim to be a church that is not a church that is driven by a personality pastor. As much as I love pastors that God has raised up their name, God has prospered them and blessed them. As much as I love that, I want JSCM to aim to be a church that is led by the Spirit. That even if that pastor will suddenly leave, that the church will continue to thrive as a mission center, just like Antioch did. Hallelujah. And when God here speaks, you know what he says? He says, take two of your key leaders out of Antioch and set them apart for my work. And hallelujah. Antioch was unafraid of sending Barnabas
and saw.
It's only a few years after they arrived. Only a few years of them ministering. And this church was unafraid to send them off. Hallelujah. That's what I love about the Antioch church. They weren't all about building the local church at Antioch. They were all about building the church. The capital C church. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's what Antioch was about. I'm so tired. One of the reasons I was like, when people are like, why don't you become a pastor, Christian? Christian, you got various gifts. Why don't you serve as a pastor? And I was like, man, I'll pray about it. I'll pray about it. And when I prayed about it, this is what I told the Lord. Lord, I don't want to be a pastor. Because I'm fed up with some of the things I see in the church. Pastors are all about their own local church. Right? Because how do I know? Because I work with Campus Crusade. I can't favor one church. I can't have a church favor. I can't say, you know, to students, just go to this one church. I can't do that because we gotta send them out to whatever churches they're already serving at. But man, how many pastors come up to me and God's doing wonderful things on the campus, and they're like, tell my student to stop serving so much at Campus Crusade. And I'm like, whoa, where's all this coming from? Our church is going through a hard time, and we need that student to serve at our church primarily. Yours is a parachurch. It's all about the local church. Okay, well, I'm touching some real touch issues right now. I just opened up a can of worms. I can't believe I just did that. All right, that's not in the script. All right. I just opened up a can of worms. Lord, give me grace right now. But that's good. And people will come up to me and say that stuff. And I'll be like, well, what about, why don't we rejoice in just the kingdom, the building of the kingdom of God? There's so many new students that are coming to Christ for the first time through your students' involvement. How come you're not rejoicing in that building? You know? And I'm trying to share that testimony with the pastors, and the pastors are like, man, don't tell me about that. Don't tell me about that. The CCC needs to support and complement the local church. The local church needs to be the center of everything. All right, and I'm touching some really sensitive things right now. All right, but that's what I experienced. And when I saw that, you know what? It turned me off. I was like, I don't want to become like one of them. Because as a Campus Crusade staff, I was all about the kingdom. And I still am all about the kingdom. I don't care what local church you go to. You go to wherever the Lord leads you. And if you got submission to authority issues, you go wherever the Lord leads you. I'm about the kingdom of God, the invisible church, the big C church. What about that? What about that? That's why we go on these mission trips. That's why we go out on the campus and we evangelize to strangers week in and week out. Because that Latino student or that Indian student that I just shared the gospel with, who is a Hindu, after he comes to Christ, he may never step into your Korean American church, but he will step into the kingdom of God. What about that? And I saw that and I was like, Lord, I don't want to join in with that. If that's the trend of what the pastors, if that's the kind of thinking that everyone falls into, I don't want that. I don't want that. But praise the Lord, because God's raising up a new movement. There is a new movement of believers, ministers that don't even have the label pastor, but are building the kingdom of God in a completely revolutionary way. And actually, there's a book called Revolution by George Barna. He's a guy who takes a lot of stats, and even Fortune 500 companies use his stats because they're so reliable. And about 15 years ago, he wrote a book called The Frog in the Kettle, and he made predictions in that book. And people looked at his book and said, man, you're crazy. This is not the way that American culture and society is going to go. He said that in 10 years, that 90 or 95% of Christians that grew up in the church, when they get to college, they will stop going to church. And people are like, whoa, maybe like 60%, 70%, 90, 95%. That's a big number. George Barna, you're crazy. George Barna said, well, I'm just telling you what I see. This is the trend. 10 years later, 90% of the things he predicted in that first book came to pass. And the churches that heeded the things that he wrote in that first book were the churches that thrived and prospered and grew and changed with the changes that were happening with the culture. And the churches that ignored his writings, some of them aren't even churches anymore. They're just building properties up for sale. And he's written a new book recently, 2 years ago, called Revolution. And in this book, he's saying there's a new revival, a new movement, where people are stopped, they're tired of doing church, and they want to be the church. Where people are not all about their local church or their own. It's all about JSCM. Come to JSCM. Come build JSCM. Serve at JSCM. It's not about that. It's not even when we go out to evangelize, it's not even come out to our church. It's about, do you know Jesus? Do you know the God who sent his son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for all your sin, that you can be completely forgiven, and not only forgiven, but clothed with robes of righteousness? Not only are you justified, but he also wants to sanctify his people. Do you know that God? Do you know that God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just opened up the can of worms. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at. But what I'm saying is, God has called me to be a pastor at this hour. And I am thankful that I'm here serving at JSCM. Because you know what? This will be the only kind of church in which I will rise up to serve. With the other kinds of trends, I don't want nothing to do with that. Brothers and sisters, let us be like Antioch, where we're all about the church, putting his kingdom first. Amen? I want you to turn to your neighbor, tell him, the kingdom's got to be first. Turn to your other neighbor. Come on, you got two neighbors on some of you. You know, honestly, I'm blessed to be serving at Jaesongdo at this hour because Pastor Huang and Madame Huang, Samonim, she's a lady who was saying hallelujah out here earlier in the day. This congregation, all right, they have exemplified the heart of Antioch here. Okay. For as long as this church has been around, Jaesongdo has been committed to building the church rather than their own church building. Okay? I should know. Every week I go to the bathroom and smell that stink. I'm like, man, why is this church still using 70s style bathrooms? Right? Some of the facilities here in the building are old. Okay? That's not because JSCM doesn't, Jaesongdo, the mother church, it's not because they don't have the money to renovate the building. It's because they've been choosing to put off the renovations for many, many years in order to build churches in the nations. How do I know this? I step foot into those missions fields. I've been to General Santos down in the south part of the Philippines, into Dumaguete and the villages and the mountainsides, obscure villages of only 300-400 people that no one else would want or are interested in going to. I've been to the mountains of Baguio in the Philippines. And all those churches I've visited, the churches were built because Jaesongdo gave. Because we decided to put up with a little bit more stank in the bathroom so that the Philippines can have their own churches, so that India can have their own churches, so that the kingdom of God will be built. And it's my pleasure to work in partnership and in submission to their authority. Hallelujah. JSEM. As we enter a new season under a new leadership, let us aim for Antioch. Let us revolutionize our thinking about the church. Let us pray that JSEM will become a center for missionary work, just like Antioch was. A center of missions work to the Gentiles, to the unreached. Hallelujah. You know, Paul, if you read on, later on in Acts, he made numerous trips, numerous mission trips. But do you know where he always came back to? He always came back to Antioch. He loved Antioch. He spent time in Antioch. He knew that when he would teach in Antioch, people would soak it up. Hallelujah. Antioch was his place of refreshing. It was his home. It was the place, it was the one place that gave him a fresh start. Brothers and sisters, 2-3 years from now, I don't know where I'm going to be. I'm not saying that to say, hey, I'm out. Peace out. You know, after 2 years, JSC, I'm peace. It's nice knowing you. I believe a great number will be added to this church. A great number that will be added to the kingdom, will be added to this church. It will grow. We're going to have Barnabas rise up. And then it's going to grow another wave. It's going to grow. And then we're going to have Sauls come. And we're going to give them opportunities to serve. Despite all the prejudices and things that they have attached to them, they're going to be given a new, fresh start. And they're going to rise up, and Pauls are going to come out of this church. Sauls are going to turn into Pauls. And they're going to go out and do missions work to the unreached. And I myself, I have a missions heart. I know that eventually the Holy Spirit may very well lead me. Holy Spirit, we might have a prayer meeting one night. The Holy Spirit may say, set apart for me, Christian and Brian, for the work that I have set apart for them. And then JSCM will go, we're going to lose our leaders. No, JSCM will go, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Build your kingdom, God. Send them to the nations, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I want to see at this church. And after I go, you know where I'm going to come back? I'm going to come back here. If this church stays like the Antioch church, becomes like the Antioch church, this is where I'm going to want to be. This is where I want to be refreshed. Hallelujah. Let us pray together.